Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola.
When compared with God's agelessness, man's life is like a watch of the night, after which he returns to the dust. Therefore, because our lives are so short, now is the time to make our calling and election in Jesus Christ sure. Please open your Bible to Psalm 90, verse 3, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola continues his discussion of this psalm written by Moses.
Verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction, and sayest, return, ye children of men. Now, the word destruction in the Hebrew literally means crumbling or dust. Children of men is actually children of Adam. And the reference is to God's judgment on men because of sin. And so when Moses talks of God bringing man back to the dust, he's going back to the fall. One of these days, should we not be the generation that's alive when Christ comes for the church, we're going to die. And they're going to either put us in a casket, cremate us. I told Lizzie, bury me next to the cat. I won't tell you where the cat is. Save us a whole lot of money. I'm sure to get a visit if I'm next to the cat, but no. We're mortal. And because of sin, we die. Charles Spurgeon said this, if we had no scripture at all to prove this, daily experience before our eyes makes it clear how all men, even the wisest, the strongest, the greatest, and the mightiest monarchs and princes in the world, be but miserable men made of red earth and quickly turn again to dust. I heard a story of a wealthy man at a funeral. And someone was marveling at the procession and of all of the people that came to this wealthy man's burial. And someone else asked this bystander, how much did he leave behind? He said, everything. Everything. And if anything, the Bible teaches us to be wise stewards of what God gives us, but to keep a light touch on things. Heaven and earth will pass away. God's word will not pass away. And one day, we're going to return to the ground. But this word return also has another important meaning. Because at other places in Scripture, it's a reference that deals with God telling man, fallen man, to return from their fallen ways, to turn to Him. And the idea here in this psalm, as we will see, is that since life is so short, now is the time for you and me to make our calling and election sure. Now is the time to get right with God. Today is the day of salvation. We don't know. We simply don't know when that day is when God's going to call us home. But we do know that we're going to die. We do know that our body is going to return to dust. And we do know that there is going to be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and of the unjust. The just being those who have placed faith in Jesus Christ. The unjust, those who did not believe that they needed to trust in Jesus Christ. And so the call to return. And look at the contrast, verse 4, between fallen man and God. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Peter quotes this in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But he says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. And the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Amazing. 1,000 years in God's sight is not only as brief as a day, but it's as brief as a watch in the night. And I began to think, of all of the history of this planet that has taken place in the last 1,000 years, and to God, it's as if it was for you or me yesterday, one day. Again, Moses here, I believe, is reminding us that God does not measure time by human standards. In fact, one of the very, very significant ways in Scripture that we see how God measures time is that He measures time morally. Now, that's a frightening thought in light of the millions of innocent babies that have been murdered worldwide. That's a frightening thought when you think of all the things that are going on globally. We tend to look at things just as Americans. Think globally. And I believe that there's a twofold work of God in the times we're living in. I believe that it's a wake-up call for you and me as the church. I really believe that. Believe that it's a wake-up call for us. Because I do believe that there can be simultaneously, before Christ comes, not only a judgment, which it's almost inevitable that it's going to happen. In fact, I believe it's in the process of happening. But I also believe that there is going to be a great, great revival. There are so many pastors and so many churches and so many nations that are praying for a revival. And I believe that God is going to do that. God doesn't measure time the way we do. And so I need to adjust to His way of time and not expect Him to live by mine. Verse 5, you carry them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. And it seems that He's speaking here of the children of Adam, who many of them lived for close to 1,000 years, but then they were finally destroyed in the flood and soon forgotten, just like a dream that had passed. And then look at this in verse 6. In the morning it flourisheth and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. If you look at the end of verse 5 and verse 6, we find, as Spurgeon said in the Treasury of David, we find the history of the grass sown, grown, blown, mown, and gone, and the history of man. It's not much different. We're here and we're gone. And Moses describes really our helplessness in the face of death. He speaks of it as being swept away as by a flash flood that suddenly bursts upon us and takes away everything in its paths. We're like the grass of the field. Sprouts in the morning, looks promising, but after a day in the blistering desert sun, it lies withered. And Moses is making the point, a very important point, that death is the result of God's judgment and God's wrath on our sin. Pastor Ben and I were talking this morning, and the first two chapters of the Bible, great. Last two chapters of the Bible, great. What happens in between? God creates us, and we think we're smarter than God. And we think we're wiser than God. And all of the ills and all of the sorrows and all of the disappointments and all of the tragedies are because of our rebelling against God. Now, science, I'm not anti-science. Science, when it is biblical and sound, is just a gift from God. But unregenerate man tells us that death is just a natural part of that life cycle. All living things die, so just accept it, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you die, and that's it. That's not it. That's a secular, unregenerate, humanistic lie that really minimizes the horror of death and disregards the clear teaching of the Bible that death has entered this world as a direct judgment on the sin of the human race. But you can't say sin. Don't say sin. Say, I messed up. Sin. Sin is rebellion against God. We rebelled against God. Adam and Eve, think of it. In a perfect environment. My, oh my. No internet. No COVID. Nothing. God gives them, you can eat of every tree in the garden. You may freely. But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you may not eat of it. For the day you eat of it, you will die. One restriction. So what does the devil do? The one restriction says, why don't you try it? It'll make you wise. You'll be like God. Eve goes, whatever she ate. I've heard it. An apple, an orange, a grape. I don't know. She ate, died, turned to Adam. He ate, died. The Lord shows up. They're afraid. They hide. God says to Adam. Adam blames Eve. Eve blames the serpent. And the wages of sin is death. That's why the Bible is so important. That's why it is so important for you and I, as Bible believers, to make sure that when we are sharing with people, we share with them from the Word of God. What the Bible says. Because the biblical reality of death is intended to make people face the reality of their sin and the fact that when they die, they are going to stand before a holy God. They're not just going to die and then that's it. It's appointed unto men whence to die, and then comes the judgment. But for you and I who are in Christ, we've already died. We've already died. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm a dead man preaching. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me shall never die. And so when you and I breathe our last breath, we step into the presence of God. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That's why when we do memorial services here, we call them homecoming celebrations. My Italian family never gets that. How can you be celebrating? Well, you take out the Bible and you tell them why. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And death is the last enemy that the Lord's going to destroy. He's already defeated it for us. He defeated it on the cross. And that's why it's so important that we have a biblical understanding of words and of terminology. Death is separation. Physical death, separation from the body. Spiritual death, separation from God. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again, or you won't enter into the kingdom of God. You won't see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus says, how's that going to happen? Shall I crawl into my mother's womb the second time? Here's a guy that's one of the teachers of Israel. And Jesus told him about how the new birth happens It's by faith in Christ. Faith in Christ alone. He takes away the fear of death, the Bible says. One time it held you in bondage. Held me in bondage. And now, death is... Now, I want to go in my sleep. I want to just go take my last snore. And then... in heaven. You know, that would be my prayer. That would be my prayer for you. And so, but there isn't a fear. There used to be a horrible fear. Horrible fear. Christ takes it away because he is the resurrection and the life. And again, how important it is, beloved, in this day and age where there is so much confusion. And confusion never comes from the Lord. There's so much confusion when we talk about different terms and different ideas. Give people a biblical definition of what you believe and why you believe it, and just let the Spirit of God do His work in their heart. Verse 7, for we are consumed by thine anger, by thy wrath are we troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. David Guzik wrote, in the wilderness, Moses and the people of Israel felt consumed by God's anger and troubled by his wrath. It must have been crushing for Moses to see a whole generation melt away in the wilderness, dying away under the judgment of God. And then just think of Moses. I believe Moses had a desire to go into the promised land, but he never went in. Not in his earthly life. Who was on the Mount of Transfiguration? That old Mo snuck in there. Right? Note that it was not only their obvious iniquities, but it was also the secret sins that God saw. The Bible talks about secret sin. In Psalm 19, verse 12, David pleaded with God to cleanse him from his secret faults. Ephesians 5, 12 speaks of shameful things that are done in secret. And every one of us knows that in the depth of our souls, there's a secrecy inside. There's a traitor inside. There's a rebel inside in our unregenerate flesh that we're ashamed of. And Christ bore all of that on the cross. So thorough was his work of redemption. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath, verse 9. We spend our years as a tale that is told. And so here Moses again compares the eternal nature of the holy God with frail, temporary, sinful man. That phrase, tale is told, is actually only one word in the Hebrew. And the basic meaning is that of a mournful or sighing sound. And it really has the idea of brevity and sadness. All our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. I wonder what kind of a tale is going to be told after we die. What are people going to say about you, me? You know, unfortunate. You know, you go to a wake, you go to a funeral. And most people are very kind and say very nice things about people, even people that they once didn't like. And I can't tell you how many times I've gone from officiating at a memorial service or going to a wake and talking to my wife. I said, sweetie, wouldn't it be great if everybody talked about each other the way they talk about them after they die? Oh, he was such a nice guy. Oh, he tried his best. Oh, I know he had his ways. I know that she had her ways. But deep down inside, they really... And as soon as they die, oh, you know, I'm really going to miss him. Really? I'm really going to miss her. Really? That's not what you said last week. And one of the things that Moses at least speaks volumes to me about is not to take this for granted. Not to take friendship and fellowship for granted. Because we know that one day we're going to be going to one another's homecoming service, unless the rapture comes first. Now look at verse 10. The days of our year are 70. How many of here have reached that number? 70. Oh, three of us. Great. So you're looking at, and if by reason of strength, 80? No, we're not there yet. So we are, according to the CDC, we're high risk. Yeah. And so I want to have a shirt made. Hug me. I'm high risk. I'm hug deprived. Please hug me. You know, and you guys, as you get older, I'm preaching to the choir here. I love reading devotionals, but it's kind of like sobering for me. I'll read and go, wow, this guy was 63. This guy was 65. This guy was 67. This guy was 68. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you never know. You never know when he's going to call you home. Here's the thing. Remember in the book of Revelation, the two witnesses, they're on earth during the most horrific time of darkness on earth. And I love this, what the Bible says. And the enemy is trying to get them, and he simply couldn't touch them until they finished their testimony. You know what that means, beloved? That is, you and I are being about what God has called us to be. We are under the most incredible witness protection program in the universe. And nothing is going to take you out until God says, okay, Tony, okay, Phil, Reuben, Paul, Joy, Mike, all right, you finished that last assignment? Time to come home. 70. Isn't it remarkable that after all the great medical advances of the past century and a half, 75 to 80 years is still about the normal lifespan? It may be uncomfortable to think about it, but it's true. Think of how short and uncertain our feeble life is. None of us knows how long we have to live. None of us knows. Life is short. It's uncertain. And apart from being rightly related to God through Christ and living in fellowship with Him and for His glory, there is no purpose. There is no purpose. And what Moses is writing about here, about the vanity of our short span of life on earth apart from God, he elaborates in the book of Ecclesiastes how he ends, fear God and keep the conclusion. You know, what's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God and keep His commandments. For that's the whole duty of man. And what's the commandments? That we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength, and to love our neighbor as ourself. That's it. Two. That sums up the law and the prophets. There, I've saved you a whole bunch of money from buying an Old Testament commentary. What's the sum of the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that beautiful? We could do an Old Testament survey in about 30 seconds. That's what Jesus said. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Love is the keeping of the law. Love is the royal commandment. The Shema is, hear, O Israel, you shall love the Lord your God. That's the commandments. Bless the Lord, O my soul,
bless His holy, His wonderful. Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. as we complete this study on Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. At Koinonia Fellowship, we believe that a church that is moving forward moves forward in prayer. That is why we have time set aside every week for men's prayer, women's prayer, and corporate prayer. We especially want to invite men and women to join us tonight and every Tuesday night for a time of prayer and praise between 7 and 8 p.m. at Koinonia Fellowship, 500 Main Street in East Rochester. Do you have a Bible question?
Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.